Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Kerry G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman. You are listening to Metal Geeks, and I must say, you've made an excellent choice.
Hi, this is Chris Claremont, and I listen to Metal Geeks. You should, too.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to episode 21 of the Metal Geeks podcast. This is one of your ever-loving hosts. This is Kerry.
And I am JM.
What's up, JM Metal Geek?
What's up, man?
We have a very, very special guest with us on this episode. It's one of my favorite podcasters, Christian Spicer. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How many just special guests have you had? I'm curious to know who I'm very, you know, more special than.
We've had a couple special guests, but you're very special.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. Suck it, other guests.
That's right. If you don't know the name, you should. Let's go over some of the things that you have going on right now. Let's talk about the Uninformed Opinions podcast first, which is hilarious. I love that show.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's I was about to say it's stupid, but then I shouldn't discount the things I do. It's a show, Stuart Nocht, who, you know, listeners might know as Wombat from Cheap Ass Gamer, and I do. We found ourselves kind of just chatting over. He uses IM still, so we found ourselves chatting over IM or whatever, and, you know, just having similar interests, and we thought it'd be fun to put a show together. So the format of that show is just, it's about 30 minutes, and we pick entirely a new topic every week, and then just talk about it, and we don't really look it up or do any work beforehand, and we get a lot of stuff wrong, but it's fun and it's dumb, and people have been enjoying it, so it's cool. But it's really just I think, like a lot of podcasts, like a couple of friends sitting down and then being like, you know what, this is really good, we should record this so everyone can hear it,
right? Or at least the people that are really close to us can hear it.
Exactly. So my mom can hear, pretend, be proud of me.
It is a lot of fun. I mean, the show title is very perfect, Uninformed Opinions. I've been listening to Wombat on the CAGcast for years and years now, and yeah, sometimes his opinions are not always right.
Yes.
Now, how did you hook up with Wombat? I'm sorry, let's call him Stuart Nocht here.
So we were both pretty drunk one night, right? And he was like, let's share a cab. And I was like, this is crazy. And it was raining.
Oh, this is not a family-friendly podcast, but we can't go that far.
I thought you asked how we hooked up. I'll back up. Just kind of the internet, really. I'm trying to think how we first met. I mean, it was years ago, and I don't even remember the first time we met. The first time we hung out in person was at E3 several years ago, and then just kind of over Twitter and email and on the phone and stuff like that, we just kind of became friends. I think it was just I was a fan of the CAGcast, and then started doing more video game stuff here and there. We just kind of connected. I don't know.
Right on. Yeah, I've been, I think the CAGcast has been going on for 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I've been a early listener, and it's one of the first couple shows that I ever listened to that was a podcast that got me to wanting to do my first heavy metal podcast, so I have to give them a little credit where credit is due. And you also have, I hear you every once in a while on another show that I listen to is from Shaq News, it's Weekend Confirmed.
Yeah, I'm on there about once a month. It's Garnet Lee's podcast. People might know him from One Up Yours and those older days, but he's been at Shaq News for a while now, and I'm fortunate enough to go in and be able to guest on that show once a month with Jeff Cannata, who we're also doing Double Jump, which will be, I don't know when this will go live, but Tuesday, September 3rd, Double Jump will premiere on the Nerdist Network, which is youtube.com/Nerdist. We have 4 episodes coming out all through September, and I'm pretty excited about them. I think they're pretty great.
I was going to talk to you about that. Tell me a little bit about the Double Jump show. What is it about?
So it's like a late night talk show, all kind of about video games, where, you know, we paint it as the show for gamers and the people that don't play them. So if you're a gamer, it'll be, you know, you'll get some of the inside jokes a little more, but we try to conduct the interviews and we do a monologue and we have sketches that can be appreciated by a broader audience than just, you know, the NeoGAF, you know, forum goers and stuff like that. And the guests we had for the first 4 episodes, we had Adam Sessler, who people might know from G4, just a super funny guy. Ted Price, who's the founder of Insomniac Games. Right. Randy Pitchford from Gearbox. And then John Davison from pretty much everything. I think people know him from One Up Yours and GameSpot. And now he's doing First for Gamers and just industry veteran and just a lot of really funny conversations with those guys.
That sounds great, man. I'm definitely looking forward to that. So, this will be out the same week. We'll probably release this on a Thursday. So if you listen to this episode of Metal Geeks and you haven't checked out Double Jump, run over to your computer and go to the Nerdist YouTube channel and watch what they have out right there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Nerdist does good stuff. Chris Hardwick's a really great guy, and he's built this little empire for himself.
Yeah, he really has.
Some great content, so we're pretty excited to be a part of it.
He's like the Joe Rogan of the nerd world.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
True. I've been following him for a while, and I just watched this thing just grow and get bigger over the past couple of years. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And he has a new show coming to Comedy Central in the fall. Right now it's called At Midnight. They've been running test shows of it here in Los Angeles, and it's pretty funny. I think it premieres after the Colbert Report when it comes out.
Oh, great. Nice. Yeah, we need more Chris Hardwick on TV because there's not enough after shows with him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of, go back to Week and Confirmed a little bit. I just listened to the last episode, and I guess the first hour or so was spent talking about, what's that game, Hearthstone? World of Warcraft. Yeah. I sort of faded out a little bit here and there because it's not something that interests me. You're probably the same way, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the beauty of podcasts, though, is that you can fast forward or you can continue driving or, you know, playing the game that you're doing or what eating and not pay attention. Someone says something interesting, sex, and now people are listening again.
That's right.
It's that simple.
So let's talk about your comedy career. I saw you when I was in L.A. last month. You had a show that I guess you do once a month called Improv versus Stand-Up. Tell me a little bit about that and some of the other things that you have going on.
Sure. So yeah, if you're ever in Los Angeles, let me know. So I do a show once a month at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater called Improv versus Stand-Up that I co-host with a friend of mine, funny comic and improviser, Rajan Darney. And that show is just kind of, in the comedy world, there's kind of this rivalry, oftentimes more among fans of improv or stand-up. And it's like, oh, you like stand-up, stand-up's dumb, or improv is just, you know, people making stuff up. And we think they're both great. So we kind of created this show just to showcase both acts. We also have the audience vote at the end. We make them switch roles. So the stand-ups do some improv, the improvisers do some stand-up. And it's been really successful, and we've had a really good time with it. Then I do a sketch show once a month at Chris Hardwick's theater here in Los Angeles, Nerd Melt. That's just sketch comedy. And then in October, I'm launching a new show there, a new show and podcast. It'll be part of the Nerdist Network. Details to be announced soon. Cool. And then otherwise, just kind of performing wherever. Actually, it has already happened, and I'm sure I did so good. But like, I'm showcasing for Comedy Central on Tuesday. And it's just the comedy game, for listeners that don't know, is a long road. It's like when someone breaks into the scene, it's like, oh, so-and-so got discovered. They were probably doing it for much, much longer. Like if you watch America's Got Talent this year, one of my friends and super funny comic, Taylor Williamson, is on it and doing awesome, and everybody should vote for him because he's incredible and such a nice person. But like to think that that show discovered him would be ridiculous. I mean, he's been headlining comedy clubs for years. He's just not you know, Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean? It's like in comedy, right. People know Seinfeld or Chris Rock, and there are hundreds of, if not more, super funny comedians that's just you don't know because for whatever reason, stand-up comedy, I feel like on people's list of things to do in a night is maybe like number 12, and usually you don't get past number 3. It's like, let's watch Netflix, let's get drunk, let's go to a movie, let's eat. Oh, I don't know, I'm just gonna go to bed. And it's like the stand-up comedy scene isn't like it was, you know, in the 80s or 90s, because now there are podcasts and, you know, YouTube videos. There are so many other outlets for comedy where a lot of people don't know stand-ups yet.
That's right. Interesting, because it's quite a bit like the metal scene. I don't know if you listen to metal or not, but...
Newfound Glory, that counts as heavy metal, right?
you can't see me, but I'm great, shaking my head no.
Yeah. Well, like for instance, Lamb of God. They started back probably 1996 as a band called Burn the Priest, and they basically were working the underground scene for a while, and it wasn't until 2003 that they actually got signed to a big label, and now they're all over the place, you know, so it's kind of interesting because I the comic world seems to coincide with the metal scene. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think anything that's not mainstream, for better or worse, like whatever it is, there's, you know, you don't know, people don't know about them until they become mainstream, and, you know, bands have been toiling away or even doing great in their scene for a while. And then I think that kind of leads to, you call it whatever you want, like hipsters are easy to make fun of now, like, their first album is the only good album, because like people get upset when something that they've loved and knew was great for forever becomes popular, because now you have people running around like, oh my God, do you know Lamb of God? They're amazing. Their first album came out. And you're like, no. The first album came out 14 years ago.
Right.
They've always been amazing. And it, you know, comedy is very much the same way with like comedy nerds, where my wife and I were going to, we had a couple of friends opening for Aziz Ansari. So we were going to go to the show and hang out with them or whatever. And we're standing in front of the club, and there's people in line that are just like, oh my God, I'm so excited to see Andrew Ansari. I love him so much. And Parks and Rec, like, and it's like, you have his name wrong. Like, you don't, you clearly don't love him that much. And it's just, it's frustrating.
You could channel that as material.
No, never. I'd save it for podcasts.
Now, you mentioned like, you know, Last Comic Standing was a show that I was thinking about when you talked about comedy nerds. A lot of people that are on there, if you're a comedy fan, you knew some of those people, but the general public did not.
Oh yeah, I mean, most of those people, especially the last few seasons, I mean, it was all headliners.
Mm-hmm.
Like Doug Benson. I mean, come on, they're not discovering Doug Benson.
Right.
I mean, we could do a whole series of shows about the farce that is Last Comic Standing. But it's easy to make fun of and say how it's not a real competition, and you know, when the person that wins is already signed to the management company that's also producing the show, like, that raises eyebrows.
Right.
But it got a lot of comedians national attention that, you know, they deserved long before that. So it's hard to be upset with something that is helping out your friends and peers.
One of the names that that was actually at your last show, your improv versus – I'm sorry, it's not versus, right?
No, it's improv versus stand-up. We just stylize it. You put the two words together, and the V of improv and the S from stand-up makes versus.
Uh-huh. Eddie Pepitone was there, and he was really funny.
Yeah, Eddie Pepitone's great, and I think he's a guy that you know, people don't know his name, even though he's been in The Hangover and Old School, and has a very popular podcast, the Long Shot podcast. He's just not a household name yet, but he really should be. Go see The Bitter Buddha. It's a documentary about Eddie Pepitone, and he's fantastic.
Like right after I saw him at your show, he was on one of the Nerdist episodes, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. He's such a nice guy too, and so funny.
So let's get back into how did you get into comedy? I know you grew up in Houston. Was that something you were into when you were here? Did you try to get into that scene here?
Not really. I wish I had like an answer, a concise answer. I guess from like a lot of people in my family were in the arts. Like my grandfather was a painter and some of my brothers pursued artistic passions. But I also watched like my grandfather and my uncle kind of struggle trying to make a career out of it. So I was always drawn to that stuff, but I was more conservative business-wise in the sense that, you know, I wanted to have a job that had a 401k and blah, blah, blah. So I actually went to law school, practiced as an attorney, thinking that, you know, that could satisfy some of those creative urges and like creative writing and arguing and all that stuff. And it just didn't. It didn't scratch that itch for me. So the first set of stand-up I ever did, while I was in law school, Dustin Diamond, Screech from Saved by the Bell. yeah, I was doing a college tour and he had auditions for local openers at the school. So I told my friends as we were studying in the law basement that I was going to audition, and they're like, you should. So I kind of talked myself into this corner and I auditioned for it and got it and then opened for him. And I had a lot of my friends were there. And so I did well, and it probably helped that, you know, Dustin Diamond isn't the best of stand-ups. So it seemed like I even did better, but that was the first time I did it. And I kind of got that itch. And then, you know, I practiced for years and I would do like one show or one open mic every couple of months. And then it just kind of kept nagging at me until the point came where I was in San Diego and I was, you know, doing stand-up fairly, starting to do it more regularly, where it was like I either needed to pick, like, am I going to go partnership track for this law firm and like really buckle down to it, or am I going to give my all to stand-up? And I talked to my wife and she was on board, and that was kind of all I needed. So I was like, see a law, and I quit my law job and just dove headfirst into this wonderful mess, and I couldn't be happier. Like, it's frustrating, and you'll hear me bitch about stuff, but I mean, I'm so happy I did it.
When I'm getting home, I'm putting on my PJ pants. Ladies, who's with me? Change into those pajama pants? God, that's comfortable, right, ladies? I know you do it, because when you go out, you wear, like, uncomfortable, I want to get fucked, look at me clothes. And then when you go home, you're like, fuck that, like, the top button comes undone. Like, moment's notice. You're like a dude at, like, a fucking all-you-can-eat Vegas buffet. You're like, here we go, bam, bam, done. And I love putting on my PJ pants, too. I get so excited about that shit. But here's what pisses me off about pajama pants. They are the most comfortable thing in the fucking world, and we're only allowed to wear them when we're unconscious. Like, I want to be at that fucking meeting where someone goes like, guys around, I just invented something. What is it? Pajama pants. What are they? The most comfortable thing in the world. Oh, my God, can I wear it? No. Only when you're unconscious or shopping at Walmart. That's okay. Who was the first person to do that? They're like, man, I'd feel really bad wearing my pajama pants around, but I'm going to Walmart. I feel, fuck it, here I go. And like they walked in, everyone else was like, if they can do it, I can do it too. This army of pajama pants runs in.
I am living the something, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You get to play video games all day and then write jokes about them, so that's pretty good.
I want people to think that's what it's like. So yes, believe that. That's all it is. That's all I do.
It's this magical land. It's great. It's like when you're at Disneyland, there's no calories at all.
Yep, or no lines. Yeah.
Or no lines. You just walk onto every ride, except you have to wait for 2.5 hours to get to the front of it.
If you have a wheelchair, you can get in faster.
Oh, or if you pay somebody is in a wheelchair, but we won't go there.
Wait, no. We want to go there. Let's go there.
I haven't done that, but there was these rich ladies, you know, like the New Jersey housewife type people that would hire people that were actually physically handicapped, or and they would hire them and they would take them around Disney World in a wheelchair so they can get onto all the rides without having to wait.
Man, that's amazing.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I went to a couple years ago with my uncle to Disney World, and he's not able to walk around, so we had him in a wheelchair, and we had one of the, you know, the moving, get out of my way things, and I mean, we had the handicap, you know, pass they would give you. You would just show it to the fast pass, and they would just take you onto the ride, but, I mean.
Man, where does your uncle live?
He lives here in Houston. You're welcome to bring him to Florida.
You can say, what are his rates? what's his hourly?
I don't think you want to travel with him. It's not worth it.
Okay, never mind. I'll find a local handicap. Oh, God, that's horrible.
Can you imagine what the anxieties for those people who are handicapped feel getting onto the ride? Because I know I always feel rushed just getting into my seat. How long do they allow time for them?
Well, sometimes some of the rides, they actually have to stop them to let people get on. You know, like the Haunted Mansion, they'll have to stop the whole ride while a handicapped person gets on, and then they start it back up.
I should just comment that, yes, sure, we do all realize how horrible this is.
Doesn't mean we can't talk about it, though.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, so.
I mean, we were talking about heavy metal earlier. Talk about the same thing, am I right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Hey, so, this is not a family-friendly show, so no worries.
That's true. We were featured on a Disney podcast last week, and we were called out for, it's a great show, but not very family friendly, and we take pride in that sometimes.
I want to know what is a family friendly show?
I have no fucking idea. I guess you can't say fuck, so.
Not that.
Yeah, we have explicit on iTunes for a reason.
Yeah, you're goddamn right.
Yes.
That's fucking right. And then we just speak our mind, and whatever comes out of our mouth comes out, you know? We don't censor ourselves.
Yeah, God's the one true way, and if you don't believe in him, you're going to go to H-E double hockey sticks, and I love my wife and my family, and and that's all I can talk about.
Yeah.
Right. Only one of the mistresses. The other one gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah, ugh. Grating.
I think that's what's awesome about our show, actually, is that it's kind of like your uninformed opinion show, where sometimes we do have show notes like you saw, but I actually just listened to it for the first time per Carrie's recommendation, and I liked it. I liked it because you guys just kind of went all over the place with it, but then you also still had a topic to talk about, like the kitchen sink was cool.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have something that you can go back on. Like right now, yeah, there are secrets to the listeners. There are some notes here that we could look at any given moment. But it's like, let a conversation happen and then see where it goes. And if people, you know, instead of sitting there going, switch over to the notes and see what you want to talk about next.
And that's the way we are. If we don't get to something on our notes, we're okay with that. At least we let the conversation flow, like you say. Exactly.
We geek out about everything, even if we don't know what we're going to talk about.
That's a great segue, my friend. Yeah. What do you geek out about, Christian? What is your major geek out?
Video games and comic books. Really pop culture. I like to say that I enjoy the Americana that is pop culture, which I realize is kind of an oxymoron in what Americana is. But I feel like we're in the middle or somewhere in like the golden age of pop culture and what it is, where I'm not too proud to admit. I mean, I'm not too proud. No, that's right. Whatever. I'm happy to admit I got teary eyed in both the Avengers movie and Dark Knight. Cause I'm watching them, not because they were so emotional, like, oh no, Black Widow's in peril now, but like I'm watching this movie just thinking, this is the comic book movie that kids today get to watch as their first comic book movie.
And we've always wanted it.
yeah. And like some 6-year-old is watching this for the first time and just being like, yeah, this is what comic book movies are. And like, I got teary. I think it's being happy. Like, that's incredible. I had to suffer through, you know, Dolph Lundgren's Punisher and Unmentionable Fantastic Fours.
Yeah, we had to wait till our late 30s to get to that area.
Well, I'm 21. I don't know how old you guys are. I just turned 21 today. Happy birthday.
Drinking.
I'm in Hollywood. Shh.
Here, got a beer for you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
But I mean, so I think that kind of stuff, like, and video games are the same way. I think I talked about it last time I was on Weekend Confirmed, where it's like, I think we're in the greatest generation of video games because it covers such wide tastes. Like, you want to play retro or action platformers, you know,
Yeah.
There are still great Marios, or Rayman Legends is amazing, but then you have The Walking Dead or The Last of Us, and like the breadth of experiences, it's incredible. So stuff like that really geeks me out, where I could just go, and then comedy, but that's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, when we were kids, we thought how much better are video games going to really get. I mean, we have Mario, and look at the 18 colors they have on screen, you know.
Remember when Sega Genesis came out? Everybody was like, "Holy shit! Look how nice that looks."
It's blast every generation processing,
right? Yeah. What is the Super Nintendo had the something 7?
Mode 7.
Yeah, it could spin around and.
Yeah.
Every console generation, you always say it's never going to get better than it is now, but it always manages to trump the last generation somehow.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's crazy to think about, like, you know what our kids will be doing, and
Jesus,
right? It's just insane to think.
You mean, Dad, you had to use a controller to play a game? What's up with that?
You're goddamn right, I did. Now take your Kinect and put it back in the closet.
Hell yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy though, but I love it. And so stuff like that, I could go on and on about. But no, you don't want me to start crying.
No, not sure, man. Yes, we do.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay.
don't make our guests cry. Come on.
Actually, I just picked up. I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for this, but today I went to this local store before I started recording, and I picked up The Dark Knight on Blu-ray, and I also got The Avengers on Blu-ray.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that those two...
One good, one bad, okay.
Yeah. No, they're both amazing. But the Avengers, when you're talking about it, I can remember when the Hulk punched that monstrosity, like right when he said, you know, I'm always angry. You know, a lot of people thought that was cheesy, but man, I got goosebumps and I got teary-eyed when he did that. It was like, holy shit, we've been waiting so long for this.
Yeah, it's like he's doing it. This is the thing. I'm seeing it.
They finally got the Hulk right. That's the way the character should have been.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of it had to do with the technology had to catch up to where it needed to be before it would you felt a connection to the character.
That's a good point, but I also think that like the actor who plays Bruce Banner is so much of an it matters so much for his character acting to reflect in the Hulk too, because when I looked at Ed Norton, I didn't see a genuine dude. When I saw the other guy's name, Eric Bana,
right.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was genuine. But Mark Ruffalo, when he played Bruce Banner, he was that perfect intellectual guy. You know, he reflected the character perfectly.
And Mark Ruffalo, he's a tremendous actor here. I've always felt that. I mean, he just brings that character to life, really,
yeah,
in both
yeah.
versions.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the next string.
Yeah, I feel like at some point, well, one, I'm a little nervous about Warner Brothers and the DC universe because they've, I don't know.
But look at their great track record.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It is great, but all their great stuff is with Legendary. And now that they've broken up with Legendary, the stuff they've done without Legendary is the Green Lantern. And
right.
I don't need a dance scene in a bar or whatever the heck that was.
That was a terrible movie.
Yeah, and Batman vs. Superman, I'm not going to hate on Ben Affleck. Like, I think he can do it. I'm going to more hate on the people that brought us The Man of Steel because that movie sucked.
I totally agree. We recorded an episode of Altness last night, and it was our summer movie picks, and it came to my question, which was my biggest disappointment of the summer? And it was hands down Man of Steel.
Yeah, because that 3-minute IMAX trailer or whatever they showed was so awesome. And then the movie was, I mean, it was fine, don't get me wrong. It was serviceable. It was better than Dolph Lundgren Punisher or Green Lantern. But, like, in terms of what it could have been or should have been, it's just a miss. And I think they're going to keep it. From what I know about Batman vs. Superman, I'm just nervous that they're going to keep doing the stuff that's not right instead of doing it well.
There was a dark overtone to the movie. It was sort of sad to watch. It was very much in the style of the Dark Knight movies, but was a character that shouldn't be that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally.
Well, at least we have Arrow. Arrow is actually doing something right. I don't know.
Hey, we did a whole Uninformed Opinions about Arrow with Chibi D.
Yes, you did.
Really? I'm going to have to listen to it. I absolutely fucking love that show, and I don't know what you talked about on your podcast, because I'm sorry I didn't listen to it.
We talk about how we hate it.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Really? You talk about how you hated it?
No. It's great. It's great.
He talked about people that have not listened to his show, how they hate them.
Yeah,
that's next week's episode. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I actually just finished watching it, the entire series, because we missed an episode on our DVR and whatever. So we finally got – they did a marathon of it on CW the other day. So we finally got to catch up on it and watch the entire thing. And the season finale for that had to have been hands down one of the best season finales I've ever seen. And I'm not trying to, like juggle their balls or whatever, but I'm serious. It's like the guy who played Merlin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was perfect in his role.
Okay, there's going to be a minor spoiler here, so if you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, go for it, man.
It's just going to be a little bit, just a little bit. Do you think he comes back?
I do.
Yeah, I do also.
I do, and I what I like about him is I like that he has that villainous type of role where he is so prepared for everything.
Right, yeah.
You know? So I can't wait to see him. I couldn't believe that was a guy who actually – didn't he play a doctor at some point?
I don't know.
I saw him covering the San Diego Comic-Con 2 years ago on I think it was G4.
We're in the process of watching that show. We're maybe only in the third episode, so
– spoiler, sorry.
No, yeah. No spoiler, they're fine. I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm so far behind on it. It's my fault. But
well, I just read yesterday they're actually going to be having they put out a poster on I think the 27th mm-hmm. of season 2, and they have much more to offer this coming season. Like Michael Jai White's going to be the Bronze Tiger.
Not Spawn anymore?
No.
Oh, Mike, that's a good movie, right?
He was also Gambo in The Dark Knight.
Okay, I don't remember that part, but.
Yeah, he was the guy that was like, you know, let's just kill this guy. He was talking about Heath Ledger.
Oh.
You remember okay. that?
Soon, too soon.
Yeah. But but they ended up they're going to be introducing Barry Allen
at the Flash,
end of,
yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the season. And the Black Canary is going to have a prominent role.
It's going to be a very quick scene.
Yeah.
If you blink your eyes, you won't catch him.
I just hope he doesn't have that cooking bowl on his head.
Right.
They've done a pretty good job of costuming in that show, though.
Yeah.
I'm almost to a flaw where I feel like Arrow, it's like, I know the way they're shooting it, I can't see your eyes, but in real life, you're just wearing a fucking hoodie.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking the exact same thing. We're watching an episode the other night. I'm like, okay, the lighting, all the shadows in the face, the girl, it was like the scene where... he first introduced himself to his ex-girlfriend as Arrow, and he's trying to get her to work with him. And I'm like, his voice isn't really that much different.
Yeah, I know.
all she has to do is really look at his eyes and go, hey, I do know you.
Yeah. Well, he did use a voice
modulator, yeah.
Yeah, but... yeah, but he does that later. He doesn't. In the first few episodes, he doesn't do that.
That's true. That's true. Oh, there's a plot hole.
Right. if we talked about it on the show. If I take my glasses off, I'm not Carrie anymore.
Oh,
but if I put them back
guy?
On, there I am.
Yeah.
Oh well, I thought we lost the host for a second.
I know, right?
No, it'll be interesting also to see how they do Deathstroke. He's definitely on the poster for season 2.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he on the island with him or something?
He was.
Okay.
He was.
It's Slade Wilson, not Wade Wilson, like not Deadpool. I don't know how you can get those two confused.
Yeah.
Deadpool and Deathstroke.
That guy plays a hell of a Deathstroke, though. He's pretty good. But so I'm going to segue into comic books now, because you guys are going to totally take over the episode here in a little bit about video games. So I'm that guy that is going to be the one who doesn't play as often, that will get things later. Anyway, yeah. But so as far as comic books,
But you'll be the one with more money, because you'll save money by not buying when they first come out. You wait 5 years and then they're like $10.
Yeah, that's true. But I also buy Funko Pops and trade paperbacks and comic books.
That's true. Yeah. Those are probably more expensive.
Yes, in the long run. But okay, are you a type of comic book reader that is more driven towards the brand, the character, or the story arcs?
Character is strong, as much as I'd, you know, pretend that I'm open to everything, but character is strong. I love Batman. I love Spider-Man. And then after that, it's creator, not creator, but writer. Like,
right.
I've followed Grant Morrison around through a bunch of books. I'll follow Bendis around, you know, through books. I wasn't a big Captain America fan, but, you know, Death of Cap was such a great arc. And so that's kind of more where I am. Yeah, Brubaker is great. And, you know.
Except for the Time Bullet or whatever that nonsense was.
Yeah. I mean, there's crap in all of them, right?
Well, it's just like a movie. You have to understand that probably a lot of it has to do with the editing team and the, you know, the higher ups at the company. Like, okay, this is how you need to solve this. We need to do something here so we can drag it on longer. And it's all about making the money, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I mean, I do believe some of it's the higher-ups, but I also think some of it's their idea. I don't know. I think they probably have an idea that they think works, and then maybe it doesn't. I've certainly, you know, told a joke I thought was funny that didn't work, and I think we've all had something that we're like, this is so – oh, my, you got to see this, and then other people don't like it for whatever reason, but –
That's how everybody's been about Cable and X-Force for me. Like, I'm telling everybody to read it, and they're like, eh.
I'm enjoying it, but it's not the old school that I like, but
yeah.
It's okay. I'm living in the past.
I'm kind of done with X-Books in general, honestly. I don't know what it would take to get me back in where I know they've tried kind of retconning it and relaunching it, but I feel like it was probably in the 90s or maybe early 2000s. I feel like it got overly complicated for complication's sake where – I don't need to go to, what is it, Genosha? Mm-hmm. Savage Island?
Oh, yeah.
Professor X's wife who lives in space? And, like all her girlfriend, I think they got married, I don't know, whatever. All these weird stories, it's like this, they've blown up that universe so big that then I'm reading this small character piece about, you know, Scarlet Witch's struggles with the Brotherhood. It's just like, I don't care because... You're going to be a good guy next issue. Like, I read Astonishing, Joss's work on Astonishing, and I liked that because I feel like that was kind of he didn't ignore the continuity with, like, Colossus and, you know, stuff like that, but it also was, like, a fresh jumping off point. But even towards the end, that I feel like just got so muddled with, I want it to be simple. Like, it's like the opening, or like the movie set up so well, the first two movies. I mean, it's about racism, and it's about that dialogue.
Yeah.
And then it's about having the people that are the other being super powered and able to stand up for themselves. And then what do you do with that power? Do you just kill people that are making you feel bad, or do you protect them? And that is so cool and something that, you know, people can relate to, because even if you're not, you know, a minority in the sense of like racially or, you know, your sexual identification or whatever, but like we've all been picked on and bullied, and how do you relate to that? And it's just, Magneto, are you a good guy or bad guy? Like, Wolverine gets his animanium ripped out, and it's just like, I just don't care. And I feel like solo books, they almost have an easier job kind of relaunching it. Like, I enjoy, oh god, what's his name, whoever's writing on Daredevil now,
Wade,
is it? It could be. Yeah, I don't
know. Is it Mark Wade, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. It's great. Like, he didn't ignore the stuff that was done before, but he's kind of like, yeah, okay, people maybe know who Daredevil is, but I wanted to make it more comic booky, and I'm going to have fun with it. And it's like, it's almost easier to do that than with the shit that's happened in the X-Books.
Right. I absolutely agree. Did you just read the last issue of Daredevil with Silver Surfer?
No. Oh, man, that sounds fun, though.
It was.
I'm pretty behind.
It was very fun. It was. I don't recall them ever meeting in the past, but they acknowledged that they never met before, and then it's so comic booky. Even the art is old school. There's a panel where the Silver Surfer comes into the room, and he has that like that silver aura going around him, and he has like the little yellow tinges to it. It's really cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Let me pose this question to both of you guys. Do you think the longer a series runs, the more convoluted the story has to become, and they just sort of lose track of where they need to be, and they just, that's when they decide, oh, we're just gonna fucking restart it and brand new now.
I think that they kind of fucked themselves, honestly, because right now, I mean, I think I mentioned the last episode where I'm getting a little irritated and tired of the Marvel universe. There's nothing that's going together. Like, I just read Nova number 7. It just came out last week, and it's just acknowledging the Amazing Spider-Man number 700. You know what I mean? And he's and then there was an AX issue 10. It was something that happened before, I guess it was before the Age of Ultron.
Right.
And Superior Spider-Man had the suit that he just introduced last issue, but the timeline goes back to about, you know, 20 issues ago. So it's like it doesn't make any sense.
Continuity is probably very difficult to keep up with, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some of the comics don't even acknowledge that the Age of Ultron happened.
Except for the nerds like us that call them out on this shit.
Yeah,
well, that's where I feel like it doesn't. Like, your question is kind of like, does it have to be the case? I don't think it has to be the case. That the longer it runs, the more, you know, difficult or convoluted it gets. But I think that's often the case.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I feel like I'm perfectly fine, and this happens. This applies to the movie versions of things too. Like, I really like James Bond, the movies. And I love the way that Daniel Craig, there's some, you know, direct continuity and whatever, but it's like, here's this character we know. Here's this character we know on an awesome adventure. That's all you need to know. And I wish the Amazing Spider-Man movie would have been that. Like, I didn't need to see Uncle Ben die again. It's like,
right.
You want to take him back to high school? Do it. You want to introduce Gwen Stacy? Do it. Just be like, here's this character we know and love, Spider-Man. Now he's in high school. Now he's on an adventure. And I understand some people, you know, you want to see that, those through lines and those bigger story arcs, but just, that's fine. Who cares? Like, yeah, I think if I were going to create a comic book, I'd almost want it to be the conceit of it would be, this is being told 1,000 years later. And it's almost like, oh yeah, back in the day of, you know, the 2000s, when society was like this, there was a superhero name, and so almost just like flashbacks. Like, every issue is just like, here's this guy on this adventure, and who cares where it is in the timeline and what it has to do with, and then maybe there's one big thread that holds it all together, but it's like the nitty-gritty of each book is just a freaking awesome adventure.
I think you have something there.
And what they've actually done now with the Marvel Universe is, because they've done so much time travel, Bendis said the timeline is absolutely shattered now. So I think it's kind of cool because it's almost like he did some sort of a revolution amongst the writers, where he's going to create them to be, or he's causing them to be a little bit more creative rather than just use certain things as a fallback.
Right, you mentioned the Spider-Man movies. Like, who doesn't know the origin of Spider-Man by now? They've seen the first movie. They could have just done that, and it was like a one-minute quick flashback or whatever they had to do and gone on with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And you're wearing a Walking Bread t-shirt, but like The Walking Dead, I think, is a great, you know, idea. Kirkman says that it's never going to end, and he wants to write it forever. But I almost like that, the way that doesn't get too bogged down on continuity either, really, because when it does, that character dies. Yeah. And then you just move on. And I would love for Captain America to really be dead. And that's what I like so much about the Ultimate Universe, where Peter Parker is really dead. And these characters are great, but it becomes so stagnant when there are these holy cows that you can't touch, that you're never going to introduce a new character that takes over the scene that way, unless you get rid of some of these old ones. And
they kind of copped out with the whole Superior Spider-Man deal. Have you been following that at all?
I'm aware of it. I don't know. I don't like it.
I stopped reading it, truthfully.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still reading it because I'm a uber Spider-Man geek. But basically, he is no longer Peter Parker mentally. He is Doc Ock, but he still has the body of Peter Parker, so that's kind of a cop-out. They killed the Amazing Spider-Man off, but you still have Peter Parker, so it's
except
not really...
His consciousness will come back at some point also. Like, there's no way this will last another year. There's no way.
Marvel has never truthfully killed, like you said, the Ultimates, beside the Ultimates universe, they've never really killed off in the 616 any character that has never come back to life.
And it's, they're actually supposed to be stopping the Ultimate universe soon here, and I don't like that.
No.
Yeah, I wish Jason Todd was still, I mean, DC has its problems too. It's just, let him be dead.
Yeah.
And they seem to hate Robins over there.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody though?
No, I mean, it's like Nightwing. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm gonna become my own superhero. You know.
All I have to say about Robin is, please, no Matt Damon as Robin.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I've been reading a lot of DC recently, the Trinity War, and what they're doing with John Constantine is phenomenal. I love it. And that's actually introduced me to a new character. So, you know, sometimes they have a hit or a miss. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. The new Lobo character design is definitely a miss.
Yeah.
It's Hot Topic Lobo, basically.
Emo Lobo.
Yeah, not cool.
Yeah. Isn't this September supposed to be Villain Month? They're putting out 52 or something variants or single issues of villains.
But this is the thing. Give us all your money now, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're all tie-ins with each other, so you got to buy them all.
They're all gonna have Batman or maybe Wolverine in it.
Because Wolverine has to be in everything.
Yeah.
Cool. So, do you have any more comic book geek talk you would like to partake in?
Me?
Either of you guys.
I mean, I could. I'm also. I'm pretty sweaty over here. I'm in Los Angeles and we're in the middle of a heat wave. It's an LA heat wave. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not dying.
Yeah.
But in consideration of, you know, the listeners, I have the air conditioning off. And so if I start falling over, it's because I've passed out because of heat.
And you are from Houston, so you can't really say it is a heat wave because you know what a heat wave really is.
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I know what real heat is, but you have to realize also living in a place that doesn't have air, like central air at all, and only one room has a little window unit. When it's probably 90, 91 out right now in like LA humid, it's hot. I mean, I don't think a place like this exists in Houston. They'd be like, no air. I don't know how the heck people lived in Houston before air conditioning was invented. And they wore suits? I have no idea.
And I'm in Tampa, and it's pretty damn hot here too.
It's humid down there too.
Yes.
So let's move on to some video game news and talk. So let me ask you this, Christian: PS4 or Xbox One?
I have a PS4 pre-ordered. I don't currently plan on buying an Xbox One. I think the Xbox One could end up being an amazing system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've gone a long way in righting a lot of the wrongs that they announced when they first unveiled it.
Right.
But I'm too much in the scene to not get one of them at launch. You know, I want one, but also I can just justify it as work. but with Xbox, I think, who knows, maybe at the end of the generation I'll love it. But right now I'm just going to wait. I don't trust anything they've done yet with this console. And none of the launch games are screaming must-have for me, so it's really easy for me to wait a year on that.
The only game that's screaming that I must have right away is Dead Rising 3. I mean, that game looks phenomenal to me. I'm a huge fan of the first two, and I know it looks a little bit more realistic, but I'm okay with that.
I think it could end up being okay, but I feel like, and I know that there's not the same game, but I feel like if you want an open world experience, you're better off just sticking with current gen and just playing GTA 5. Like Dead Rising 3, they're hoping to get 30 frames a second, and Capcom hasn't really done much to impress me in a long, long while, where the first two I feel like showed potential, and then they haven't quite realized it, and I don't know if the third one will be the game that realizes it yet either, because I feel like they've instead of learning from those mistakes from what I've seen in played of 3, it looks like they're just going in a new direction, which is cool, but I think it's going to introduce a whole new world of potential mistakes.
You mentioned GTA 5. What are your thoughts on that so far?
I think it's going to be a blockbuster. I think it's going to get really good reviews, and I'm never going to play it.
There you go.
I don't like open world games. I don't know if you guys are fans of them. The only open world game I really have liked are the Infamous games. For whatever reason, those resonate with me. But I've played pretty much every Rockstar game, and I just don't. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. I'll take a Last of Us or an Uncharted or Gears of War over an open world game pretty much every day.
You bring up The Last of Us. I mean, it's one of the great gems on the PlayStation system. And a lot of people I know didn't really play it because it didn't really make much sense to them, but it's one of the best games on that system.
If you haven't played it, go play it. Stop being an idiot, especially if you own a PS3. Email me. I'll lend you my copy. It's so good. It's not the most fun I've ever had playing a video game, but it's the best video game I've ever played. I loved it. I love that game so much, and I feel like it maybe won't age well just because it's, you know, realistic looking graphics. So it might come to a point where the graphics look dated, but while you can, and while I think it looks phenomenal right now, I think if you have a PS3 or access to one, go play that game. It's so good.
And if you're looking for a game that has amazing narrative and tremendous writing, Uncharted and then The Last of Us, both of those series right there, it's worth every freaking penny you spend on it.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Naughty Dog has done some incredible work this generation.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, I think Uncharted 1 is my favorite game of this generation right now, just from the experience I had when I first played it. It was something you hadn't really, you know, they have never really touched on that much before. It's such an immersive experience. The characters were well done. The writing was great. It was just, and the gameplay wasn't the best, but it was still fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to look back on it and shit on it and be like, oh, well, it's just climb this flashing ledge, or you murdered 100 people. And that's great. Criticize the games. That's perfect. But you harken back to the first time you played it, and yeah, and how amazing it was, and how it was suddenly okay to have a crush on a video game character, male and female, because they were both so dynamic. And it was paced so well. I think I played the first Uncharted. I mean, it wasn't terribly long, but I think I sat down in the morning and didn't get up until I beat it.
Right. It was one of those. Exactly. It was one of those games you did not want to put the controller down ever.
Yeah. It's so good.
So there's rumors right now that the Xbox is. There's 2 dates that I've heard. Have you heard any confirmation on any dates yet?
No confirmation, but I would not be surprised if it launches on Call of Duty Ghost. What is that, the 5th or the 8th?
Right. Yeah, I've heard the 8th is one of the dates that they've been talking about, because they do have the work cut out for them. And the PlayStation 4, the release date is November 15th, so they'd be smart for them to get it out before that.
Yeah, I feel like Microsoft will. I mean, I don't know if they will, but I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if they launched in North America before the PS4. I mean, they already scaled back their launch territories, to be redundant. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went out like North America or Europe or something like that, or maybe not Europe. Maybe that's why they did the FIFA announced at Gamescom. If you pre-order an Xbox One, you get a free copy of FIFA 14. That's big for Europe.
Yeah, and totally.
And a week early, I don't think it's going to change things in the long run of the console war per se, but it will take up a lot of that initial press and mind share where people will be talking about it. And then if another console comes out a week later, that just sounds kind of like oh, and remember when we talked about the Xbox One? Well, now there's also a PS4. It's just like it changes that conversation.
Right. I mean, they have two options. They either have that week before the PlayStation 4 or the week or two after, which is too close to Black Friday for them to actually get a good console release, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that they miss coming out before Black Friday. No. That's, if they do, they fucked up.
Yeah, totally. And they've already started doing a couple of changes to the brand. So Xbox Live Arcade now in America is called Xbox Games. And they've gotten rid of the horrible, horrible system of the Microsoft points. I hated that.
What did you hate about it?
You know what? The worst part about it is you couldn't – if you owed money – okay, so there's an 800-point game, and I had 710 points in my account. to buy that 800 point game, I couldn't just spend the difference. I had to buy another 400 points, and then that would have a different. You know, it was.
Did they change that though? I'm not sure. I honestly don't know, but because I feel like now you're using real money, but that situation right. could still very much be true. Like you wanted to buy a $10 game, and you had $8 in your Microsoft wallet. Can you just add $2, or do you have to add $5?
You can, if you have your credit card attached to your account, you can just pay the difference.
Okay, cool. That's way better.
Yeah, just like the PlayStation, it's. I think you have to add from a wallet on a PlayStation. It's like a minimum of $5 still, isn't it?
I think I'm not sure. I know for just that might be the case. I think just for adding an amount, but like if you want to just go buy a game,
it comes straight off your card.
Yeah.
Which I think that's the way I'm just going to go now. It's like, why even buy, you know, virtual money when I'll just take it out of my real money.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me sad about losing points is just on Amazon or at Target, you could find some points cards for a deal, which, you know, I don't think Amazon will sell a $20 Microsoft card for $15.
That's true, yeah. There were some amazing deals back in the day, and all thanks to Cheap Ass Gamer, you find all this great stuff.
Remember,
Micro Center, they were selling 1,600 point cards for like $7 or something at one point.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's how I got my whole catalog of Rock Band songs. Yeah. Another cool thing they mentioned about the Xbox One is if you find a game that you want to download, you can do it mobily now from your phone or from a computer far away, and it'll automatically turn on your system and start downloading. So when you get home, you'll have that game ready for you.
Whoa, that's crazy.
It's the worst thing about, I want to play this game. It's a 4.8 gig download. Now I have to wait 5 hours for this game to download and install.
Yeah, and Sony's trying to do, you know, almost instant play.
Right.
And I know Microsoft has some of that also. But yeah, that's great. That's the worst. There's nothing worse than either downloading or even worse still when you buy a box copy and PlayStation 3, God, those updates. It's like now updating and you're just,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? I went to the midnight launch so I could play this freaking game.
No, it's a 3-hour download for the update. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Interesting. So, what would be the selling point if like me, I'm a guy who barely games. What should I pick up if I was going to pick up a console?
Neither one.
Okay.
Right. Wait, like why? Wait until there's a catalog of games that you want to play, and then buy one based off that. Honestly, like I don't. Before the PS2, it was easy to recommend as a cheap DVD player. If you wanted to get into Blu-ray, the PS3 was a good Blu-ray player. Netflix hit Xbox 360 first. Granted, you had to be a gold subscriber to get it, but like that was a reason to suggest that. For these new consoles, I don't think they've shown that yet for like the casual person why you need to be there day one. I think at some point there might be a great game that you want to play, but yeah, wait, don't get one.
My recommendation to you is take that money you would spend on a brand new system and get a PS3. There's so many games I know that you would love, like the Uncharted games and the God of War games you haven't played. You can get all that stuff on the cheap now.
Right. Okay. Well, there you go.
Or you can send me a check. I'm on PayPal.
Kickstarter. We're going to start it right now.
That's right. Yeah. Hey guys. Welcome to our Kickstarter. Give us money. Is that a good pitch?
Let me get my credit card out right now, man.
Love it.
So we're speaking of PlayStation. The cool thing about, I know you like this portion of it now, and I just started buying into it maybe like 6 months ago, is the PlayStation Plus membership.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
It's really worth it, man. I mean, the games that they give you are top-notch games. I mean, for PlayStation 3 and Vita, I mean, the Vita is like really, most of my good games are from this PlayStation Plus now, so.
Yeah, I mean, for $50, what is it, $40, $50 a year? Yeah,
you can get discounts too if you look.
Yeah, and you get discounts on, you know, like online games that you're going to buy, and then free games every month that you have access to as long as you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber. And
yeah,
maybe not games that you'd go pay $60 for, but just games that are fun. And like I was playing Vanquish last night on the PS3, and I never would have played that game if it wasn't for PS Plus, and I've really enjoyed it. Same with XCOM. Everybody said I should play it, but I don't usually like those games, but it was free on Plus, so I've put a couple hours into it. Why not?
And, you know, Xbox tried to catch up with that. They're like, oh, hey, we're going to give away a free game every month, too. But they're giving away, you know, like, games everybody had, like Fable. Or Fable, yeah, 2, Fable 3, yeah, I mean.
I feel like maybe the difference might be, because I think with Xbox, it's no strings attached, right? Like, if you're a gold member when those games come out, I think if you then quit your gold, I think you keep that game.
Yeah, I haven't heard any. Yeah,
so I think there might be licensing differences with some of that stuff. But I mean, that's the like, as soon as you quit being a subscriber of PlayStation Plus, you lose access to those games. But I'd love. I mean, I love Netflix. I love Spotify. I'm all for. And I was a Gamefly subscriber for a long time too. I'm all for paying a subscription fee to have access to great content, assuming the fee is the right price. And so far, PlayStation Plus has, you know, struck that balance.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's great that it's gonna, everything's gonna carry over with your Plus account, you know, to the PlayStation 4. It's not, you don't have to get another account now because it's a new system. It's the same thing.
Yeah, no, I think they're being smart with it. I'm sure Sony will mess something up because their OS usually is wonky or weird somewhere. But so far, they seem to be doing a lot right.
I hope the PlayStation 4 software, like you say, it's good, because yeah, the PlayStation 3, they've upgraded a few times, but it's still not very good.
Yeah, the cross media bar is kind of a pain to dig through, and the store is now it looks prettier, but it's slower and still kind of awkward to find what you're looking for. Also, and I think that's the biggest thing in this next generation is, you know, content discovery. How do you find the thing? And like now with both having self-publishing for indie games and stuff, it's like how do you find that? How does a cream rise to the top? How is it presented to you? I think will go a long way.
And PlayStation, especially at Gamescom, and if you watch their press conference, they're all over the indie games right now. Do you think that's, you know, where they need to be focused on? I mean,
I think they're in an okay position, honestly, because I think right now Sony has more in-house first-party developers that are great, that'll be doing games for them. And then if they focus on indies, that's maybe a smarter way than what the rumor is. Microsoft has $1 billion for third-party stuff. And I think if Sony focuses on their first-party stuff and then supplements that with some indie games, I think they'll do okay. I think they'll do all right.
I think a lot of it has to do, you know, it's less investment for them just to pay a little bit of money to a smaller developer. And they've been making a lot of money on some of these games. It's sort of a gamble for them, but.
Yeah, for sure. I've been playing a lot of Hotline Miami on my Vita, though. I think, you know, those types of games can fit systems in a way that, you know, are fun. It might not harness the power of a system, but I can sit and play it for a couple of minutes here or there, and it's great.
Gameplay is number one to me. If it's a fun game, if the graphics aren't very good, you still have fun with the game. If the graphics are amazing and the game sucks, you're still not going to have fun, even if the graphics are good.
For sure.
So a couple more things I wanted to touch on. The Wii U announced a price drop of $50. Do you think that's too little, too late?
Yes, I do. I think the Wind Waker HD bundle is kind of interesting. I think it's a GameStop exclusive here in the U.S.
Yeah.
I do. I think it's too little, too late. I don't know if you're serious about gaming. I don't know why you'd pick a Wii U when the other consoles are so close.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a serious gamer, like if you're wondering, should I buy one or not? No. I mean, I think because like Apple TV or, you know, Roxy or whatever, there's so many other like Netflix or tablets or phones that can fulfill that light gaming / Facebooking / Netflixing avenue that
even some refrigerators can do that for you.
Yeah, seriously. And Nintendo says, oh, well, Reggie has just been on an apology tour. Like, it's the games. We got to have the great games. Where were you? Like, you've used this excuse for so many generations,
right,
that I just don't believe it anymore. Like, I love that Nintendo games, when they come out, they're top quality. But if it takes you this long to do a game and you know you're going to be in, I think they think that they're going to get that upswing. Like, the 3DS, you know, I still think it's a shock that, not that the system is competent, but that the price drop turned it around the way it did.
It really did.
And I don't think they can keep relying on that. And I think they got lucky with it, and at some point it's going to bite them in the butt. And I think that point is the Wii U. I don't think it'll ever have mass success.
And they're bringing out that new tire wedge. I mean, the 2DS, whoever that's aimed for. They say it's aimed for like 7 and under, but.
And I think that's what it, I think. I honestly think that'll sell fine. I think it's super cheap for them to produce. But yeah, I don't know. But maybe it's just you and I need to accept that Nintendo's not for us anymore.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I still enjoy playing a Mario game here and there, but is it a $350 Mario system? No, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of like me accepting that Rockstar games aren't my thing, and then accepting that I'm not going to own a Nintendo console again for a long time. And while that's sad, at some point it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, we're moving on. I don't own a Chevy car anymore either, and it's you know, it's like,
do you think this
they
is
don't make good cars?
Do you think after Nintendo failed with everything, I mean, they're still making a ton of money from the 3DS, the handheld, they still rule that right there, but do you think this is going to sort of force them like what Sega did and become like a third-party, you know, supplier of games?
Not anytime soon. I don't think so. Maybe in 10 years, but I think in that time we'll be in such a different landscape that everything will maybe be like that, that you'll have a PC that'll be Steam, and then you'll have a Nintendo store in Steam. Or, you know, I think where we have the possibility to go is pretty crazy that I don't, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I like that future. I want one machine that will do everything for me. And, you know, I want to play games from this company and this company and this company, and I want one system to do it. It just sort of makes sense, you know?
Yeah, you just want to sit down and game. And
exactly.
The PC's, I mean, it's getting closer and closer, like, you know, Steam, big picture mode, and we're getting there. And just the power that you can fit in an iPhone now, I think soon enough you can have a really small, very high-powered device that can just play shit.
The only people that it really you know, causes a problem to is the consumers, because they're the ones always caught in the crossfire of these companies back and forth with their systems, you know, and it confuses a lot of people.
I think competition is good, but it's also I don't know what the perfect answer is, because I think it is good to have competition. Like Sony being around made Microsoft change a lot of shit about the Xbox One. You know, where would we be if there was only a one console world? Well, that's where I kind of like the idea of PC, where it's like, I'm not buying that thing that plays my games from a company that makes games. So now it's like I have this hardware, and then everybody else makes great games for it, and that's the competition, is in the game space, not the device space.
That is a very dystopian future, and I hope we get there. I hope we get there before we have hoverboards. So,
well, that's next year or 2 years. So
that's right. It's around the corner. Well, I guess I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I know we had some, you know, a bunch of movie talk. There's a lot of news that came out about Guardians of the Galaxy, but I think we're going to keep that till next week.
Well, the good news is that movie doesn't come out for a few years, so.
And I have seen some footage, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Cool. So let's pimp everything out again before we let you go. Tell us where everybody can get a hold of you, Facebooky, and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So I live in Los Angeles. My address is.
Hold on.
Are you ready? You ready?
Yeah, I got it. I'm running it down.
Okay, pen and paper. If you use Google, so Twitter, I am at Spicer, S-P-I-C-E-R. My website, christianspicer.com, where I post some random stupid stuff. And then I guess, yeah, Uninformed Opinions is on iTunes with Stuart Knocht. And then Tuesday, September 3rd, was the debut of Double Jump on the Nerdist channel. That Twitter is at Double Jump Show. Please watch it. Give it a chance. We loved making it. It's with Jeff Cannata and I. And I would really love everyone to watch it and give feedback. So hopefully we can make more episodes and take some of your feedback into account. And then if you're ever in LA and want to go to a show, I perform almost every night. And then UCB once a month, improv versus stand-up. And then I'll have a couple of shows at the Nerdist showroom also. So come to a show, come say hi. I love, you know, seeing people that I've met, you know, via podcast and stuff like that at shows. I think it's so awesome the way you can become friends with someone, kind of like how Stuart and I did. you know, before you even meet them, and or you're in the same city. And so I love that. And so come say hi. Let's hug and stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of, I mean, my co-host right here, I've never actually physically, we've never met in person. So
yeah that's awesome.
Yeah, it's talking online for probably a good 10 years now.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the Nerd Melt Theater, the Nerd Melt, the comic store that's in the front of it. It's great. I went there a few months ago. My favorite thing in that whole store is the whole display of Invisible Woman stuff, and there's nothing.
Oh yeah,
that is brilliant.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's gone now. But yeah, they had that exhibit of Invisible Woman toys.
Yeah, I actually, when you told me about that, Carrie, I think I referenced maybe somehow or another giving those guys a heads up and putting a Wonder Woman in there, like she's riding the invisible plane.
Right. That's funny. I think her jet was parked outside.
Oh.
Is what it was.
Gotcha.
So yeah, definitely catch up with everything that Christian Spicer does. You can find us on the interwebs as well. TheMetalGeeks@gmail.com is where you can send us any kind of email you would like. You can find us on, where else can they find us? You take this over.
Oh, they can find us on Instagram. We have an Instagram for the Metal Geeks. It's Metal Geeks Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter. I think it's The Metal Geeks, or is it Metal Geeks?
It's at Metal Geeks.
At Metal Geeks. See, you should have taken over it. and we also have an official Facebook page. You can find us on there, Metal Geeks. Every single thing that we have on here actually is synced up together, so there's no fucking way you cannot find us, actually.
You can find us on altness.com, which is our great Houston group of guys that we get together, and we record videos, and we cover all kinds of events, and we do YouTube shows and podcasts, and it's a lot of fun. So check out altness.com. You'll see like the footage we just did from the Space City Con and Comic Palooza. A lot of great interviews. Where else? I think that's it. They can find us,
everywhere.
Everywhere.
We are everywhere on the internet.
We will be at your mom's house tomorrow night. As long as she's making pork chop, that's where I draw the line.
Well, man, it was wonderful having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was awesome.
Yeah, I hope you want to come back.
Nope, never.
I don't even want to come back now.
Me either. Fuck this show. Yeah. All right, man. It's been a pleasure.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Cool. Keep it geeky.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit msrcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.